Do you guys ever think about your salvation? Like, I mean, I force you to think about it once a week, pretty much. But you ever think about how good it really is? Like, do you ever like imagine what it would be like to be in front of the cross that day? Do you ever imagine do you ever think about all of the awesome gifts that are a part of it? Do you ever think about all of the goodness that comes with it, how he loves us, how he gives to us? Like, do you ever think about what it might be like to be in heaven someday? Do you ever spend any time thinking about your salvation? It's good. Like, it's so good. It's so good that he's just overwhelmed. I mean, we've been preaching on this for like a year and 4 months or something like that. The same basic idea at all of the goodness of our salvation. It's just unending. We could preach on this, I think, forever. I really do. I think we could preach on this until Jesus comes. I don't think we will. I think I've got something I'm pretty excited about. I think we're going to start next year. I think next year we're going to read through the Bible together. And this is kind of, I'm just telling you what I'm thinking right now. I haven't cleared this with the Holy Spirit yet, so I can't say this for certain, but I'll say this. I think that probably what we're going to do is I'm going to give you like some what to read, and we're going to read the whole Bible all together in a year. We're going to read it chronologically through, and I think for everybody who finishes on time, we'll have a big old party. And you know, lots of awesome gifts and stuff like there. So I'm gonna pay you to read your Bible if you'll read it all the way through in a year, because it's not that difficult. Some days are 20-minute days, some days are 10-minute days, most days are like 10 to 12 minutes worth of reading a day. You have 10 to 12 minutes worth of reading a day. You absolutely do. So anyway, I think we're going to do that next year. But I have to wrap this sermon series up by Christmas to do that. So I don't know if the Lord's going to let us do that or not. We'll see. Anyway, so we have been marveling at our salvation. That's what we've been doing since last May. We've been talking about how good it all is. And we've made our way to the armor of God. And so I'm going to read these scriptures here for you. This is found in the end of Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that come from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, last week we talked about the shield of faith, and we walked through that. We've talked about the righteousness, like the body armor of God's righteousness, and that song we just sang. How did the line go? Anyway, the idea is his blood is our righteousness, right? Like, you're not righteous. You can be moral. You can be moral. You can be good, right? You can do good things, but there's no righteousness in you. It's all a part of who Jesus is. That's all. So don't think that, well, I'll just be good and that'll be good enough. It won't be good enough. It won't be good enough. You need Jesus' righteousness. You need this righteousness. And so the Bible tells you to put this stuff on, meaning you don't have to wear it. You don't have to wear these, because these are spiritual weapons. These are spiritual defensive weapons, spiritual weapons that you wear for a spiritual battle. You're absolutely in a spiritual battle, whether you like to believe that you are or not. You are absolutely in one. And so if you're going to fight spiritually, then you need spiritual tools. And this stuff is spiritual tools. And so this week, we've made our way all the way to put on salvation as your helmet. So let's read verse 17. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I'm very excited about next week because we're going to talk about how awesome the Bible is. But this week, we're going to talk about salvation as your helmet. Now, I think that this piece is probably the most necessary piece. Like, I don't think you can wear any of the others unless you have this piece. The helmet of salvation is what gives you relationship with Jesus Christ, what gives you relationship with God, and as a result, you can't put on the breastplate of his righteousness if you don't have his salvation. You can't wear the sword of the Spirit unless you have His. You can't put on the gospel of peace. You can't put those things on if you don't have His salvation. So here's what I think is awesome about this: the helmet protects the brain. Some of you guys have one of those. I thought that would land a little bit better. Nope, it didn't. Okay. More than anything, you have to protect your brain. Your body, just like the Matrix says, your body cannot survive without the mind. It can't. Like, there are people who can survive without a heart. There are people walking around on planet Earth today who have some sort of machine in them that just shoves the blood where it's supposed to be. They don't even have a pulse. That's crazy. But there are people who live without a heart. But you cannot live with, there's no swapping out the brain. There's no brain transplant. You can live with a pig heart. There are people on planet Earth today who have pig hearts in their body, keeping them alive. But there's nobody wearing a pig brain, right? You got to have your own brain. You got to protect it. It is the most important piece of this whole package, because you can lose arms, kidneys, pieces of liver, a whole lung. You can lose big chunks of stuff and still survive. You cannot live without a brain. It's not going to happen. And so as a result, you need to protect it with the helmet of salvation. The salvation is your, you cannot survive without salvation. In the same way that you can't survive without a brain, you can't survive without salvation. You're not going to make it through eternity happy, I promise. You have to, more than anything, you've got to protect your brain. More than anything, you've got to protect your salvation. Your salvation is the biggest deal. You know, some people will be like, well, where you go to college, that's one of the biggest decisions you'll make in your life. Where you, you know, who you marry, that's one of the biggest decisions you'll make in your life. And absolutely, that's true. You know, the day your kids are born, those are big days in your life. But none compare to your day of salvation. If you don't have that figured out, then all the rest is for naught. And honestly, like, I don't even remember who I was talking to this week about this, but I don't know how people who aren't saved, I don't know how they decide who to marry. I don't understand. How do they decide who, where, like, which job to take or which car to buy or whatever? Like, the Lord, I feel like the Lord guides me through all of these things. So I can't imagine trying to decide who to marry without the Holy Spirit backing me up. Now, I mean, obviously, Shannon was a fantastic choice, right? And even without the Holy Spirit, I probably would have picked her, but it would have been just a shot in the dark, right? So more than anything, we have to have our salvation. The brain is the source of all of your functions. So when you're asleep, the brain is still telling your lungs to breathe, your heart to pump, your kidneys to do whatever kidneys do, your liver to do whatever they do, right? Like your brain is still, so you're like, the brain is the source of all your functions. Your salvation is the source of all your spiritual functions. If you're going to make it through this life, if you're going to make it through this world with be happy at the end of it, then you've got to have that salvation in check, because it's going to help you with every other function, like deciding where to go to college, deciding who to marry, deciding all of these things. These are huge, big chunks of life that you got to have your salvation. It's the source of all of the hope that you can muster. Oh, this cold has got me messed up. Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. I don't care. I don't judge my performance as a pastor. I promise I don't. I don't care if I stand up here and I embarrass myself. It makes no difference to me. As long as you guys hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, I promise that's what matters to me. I will fumble all over this all day long, and it will not matter to me. I want the Holy Spirit to do the speaking. Anyway, your salvation is the source of all of your functions. You cannot put on the belt, the shoes, the righteous, the body armor. You can't put on any of this stuff unless you've got that helmet of salvation functioning and on. Okay? Now, how do I get my salvation working. All right. Well, we're going to read a couple of scriptures about that. Now, if you've been saved for a long time, then this is going to be some review for you. If you've never been saved, then hopefully today is your day. John chapter 3, verse 16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Jesus came that you could have life and have it to the full, that you could have salvation. Jesus was a man who lived 2,000 years ago, and he came as this perfect God-human person. And he was our sacrifice, right? You are a sinner. I am a sinner. We are not deserving of God's love. And because God wanted to love us, he wanted us to be in relationship with him. He wanted to jive with us. He wants our hearts to be connected to his hearts. Because of that, then he sent his son to bridge that gap. So I've got a picture for you. I'm sure that a lot of you have seen this before. Shannon, you ready? There we go. Okay, so it's like this. You're on one side of this huge, magnificent gap that even the greatest long jumper of all long jumpers could not clear. The only way across is that Jesus built a bridge for you. Jesus built a bridge. If you're on one side of this, then God is on the other side, and you have no access to him, none, without your salvation intact. Once you accept Jesus' gift, then you walk across that bridge. I guess the you there is a little bit dangerous. Maybe that was the wrong picture. But most people could clear that, I think. Anyway, I didn't really look at that picture very close before. Anyway, the point is, you're on one side and God is on the other, and you can't get there. And like all these spiritual weapons, you have no access to them. All of the joy, the peace, the hope, the patience, all of the good things in life, all of that, all of the John 10:10 that comes bubbling up in you, all of that is you have no access to unless you understand what's happening in this picture. And not just like on a brain level, on a heart level, on a soul level. Let's look at another scripture. This is Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So your salvation is this two-part chunk, okay? And one part is believing in your heart it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, okay? Now, lots of people believe this. You can find lots and lots of people on the streets everywhere that believe that God lived or that Jesus lived, that he was a real person, that he really died. Lots of people, and even lots of people would say that they believe that he rose again from the dead. Lots of people would say that. But you know why? Because you're built that way. God stitched that into you you're meant to believe that. You were created to believe that. You were created to absorb that and accept it. You absolutely were. And so lots of people, even though they may not know God or know the Bible or know really who even Jesus is, lots of people can accept that there was a God, that we were created by a creator. Lots of people can accept that. It's the next chunk that so many people struggle with. The next chunk is making him Lord of your life. Admitting out loud, Jesus is my Lord. And then letting him stay there. Now, I don't want to be the kind of preacher who would have somebody doubt their salvation. I don't want to do that. I do, however, want to point out, if you can live a sinful life and it doesn't bother you, then you should really consider whether or not you've ever made Jesus Lord of your life. If you can walk through your daily life watching pornography, being mean to people, doing whatever it is, whatever your, you know, gossiping, whatever your sin of choice is, if you can just walk through life and not really care, it doesn't bother you, like it doesn't make you feel uncomfortable in your heart, then maybe you need to really consider whether you, like, sure, you believe, but that's step one. Have you really made him Lord? Because that's what he wants. He wants to be made Lord over your life. That's a real big deal. Believing, it's stitched into us to believe. Making him Lord is a lot harder. Because you have to confess that you're not good enough. You have to confess that you're not enough. Now, whether you're willing to confess that or not, doesn't make any difference. You're not enough. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it to heaven. You're not going to do it on your own. You'll never do enough good. You'll never give away enough money. You'll never be nice enough guy. You'll never do enough nice things. You'll never make it on your own. Never. You have to make him Lord of your life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. He is the pathway. Oh, but he's so worth it. He's so, like, is it hard some days to be like a Christian? Absolutely it is. Do sometimes I want to say smart aleck things and be mean? Absolutely I do. Like, and I still do. I mean, if you guys that know me, like, do sometimes I just want to just quit trying to be nice? Like, yes, absolutely I do. It is work. It is work. But it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it to do the work. And here's why. And well, let's look at the next scripture. And this is John 10:10. You've heard me read this a whole bunch, or say it at least a whole bunch of times. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. God wants to give you life and give it to the full. And like, yes, sometimes I would prefer to be evil. Sometimes I would. But it's so much better on this side. It's so much better when I don't be evil. It's so much nice. There's no way to explain it, because the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Meaning that if you don't get this, then you don't get it. It's foolishness to you. But the internal satisfaction I have with my life because of what salvation has done inside of me is indescribable. I can't stand here and say how good it is, because it's indescribable. It's something, unless you experience it, you can't understand what it's like. Once you've got it, then we can party down with Jesus. The eternal, God, he's going to take care of you. And so I don't have to worry because of this. I don't have to worry, because of my salvation, I don't have to worry about, running out of money. I don't have to worry about running out of, being alone. I don't have to worry about being afraid. I don't have to worry about, none of these things, because God supports me in all of these ways, in magnificent and wonderful ways. Look, I want to read one more scripture to you here. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. If you're still sinning, then stop. Stop. It's so much better. Look, you can throw off your old sinful nature. You can throw that away. It's corrupted by lust and deception, but instead you can let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. It's so much better. When we spend our whole lives selfish, we run out of friends. We're afraid all the time. We're anxious all the time. Self-conscious all the time, when we're only worried about ourselves. But when we let God become first, when he renews our thoughts, then we can put on a new nature to be created like God, truly righteous and holy. Not self-righteousness, but real righteousness, Jesus's righteousness. And so here's where we're at this morning. If you're in this room and you have never you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, then I'm going to give you a chance to do that right now. I really am. I want you to know him. And look, if you've been in church for 80 years and God is working on your heart this morning, God is speaking to you, then don't hold on another day. Get saved today. Do it today. Because you may not make it home. You could be working on a heart attack right now. And nobody's going to laugh at you. If you've been in here 80 years, And you're like, oh, let me go and get saved. If I go and get up front, then they'll laugh at me. Nobody, we're going to celebrate with you. And if you're brand new, this is your first time ever in the building. You never heard of Jesus before. Look, now's a great time. Now's a great time. I'll be gentle as we talk about how good God is. So what here, and then we're going to go right into our communion. So here's what we're going to do. For the next few minutes, for the next little bit here, Emily's going to play for us. If you need salvation, then you come on, and I will get you salvation right now. And the rest of you, because we're going into communion. And here, let me read the scripture for you, communion folks. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. So I'm going to give you some time. If you need salvation, then you come on. If you don't need salvation, then you need to begin examining yourself, asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, what I need to get fixed before you come and get this bread and juice. And then what we'll do is I'll have you come up and get it, and then we'll do communion together. All right, let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, you're good. Lord, you're working on hearts this morning. I know you are. God, I pray you would give us courage to move forward. I pray you would give us courage to examine ourselves. I pray you would give us courage to let go of our own sinfulness and our own self-righteousness, and God, give our lives to you entirely. God, this is somebody's morning. Do what you do, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you need salvation, you come on right now. Or anything like that. You just have to be a Christian. So if you're a Christian and you, whenever you feel like you've examined yourself and you're ready, then you come on up and go ahead and grab both and take them back to your seat. And once everybody's settled, then we'll do it together. I pass this on to you, what I have received from the Lord himself. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you that you gave your body for us. And we pray that you bless this as we do it, God, that we do it in your way and in your holiness. In Jesus' name. Same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, your blood is what carried all, is what carries all of our hope for a future. God, all of our hope rides on your blood being pure, and I thank you that you did that for us. God, you are glorious and you are awesome and you're amazing. Lord, we worship you this morning as we take this communion in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I don't think I have any last minute announcements, so I love you guys.